Hebrews 2, begin reading the third verse. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness with both signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. For unto the angels has he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak, but in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that you visit him? And this was David's question to God. This was taken from the Psalms. And David said, when I consider the heavens, the work of your hands, he said, I say, what is man that you are mindful of him? Why would you consider man? And more importantly, for David, he was saying, why do you consider me? Why do you even take note of me? And I want to start with that because Paul, from here on, is describing this great salvation. But it starts on the question, God, why would you even consider me? Anyone ever asked God that? You know, I'm just one in a world of billions. And Lord, there's many great ones in this world, but that's not me. Why would you even consider me? And I've asked the Lord that before. And that was David's question. What is man that you're mindful of him? Or the son of man that you would visit him? Why would you visit me? Why would you? Have you ever been visited by the Lord? If you know the Lord, you have. The Lord visited me before I was saved. That's what drew me to the Lord. He visited me, dealing with my heart, calling me, convicting me of my way. But he visited me. Scripture tells me that it was the goodness of God that led me to repentance. I didn't know it was the goodness of God then, and I wasn't very happy about it. I was fighting God, and I was losing. And I didn't like to lose. You like to lose? I was fighting God. I was fighting him hard. I was denying what he was telling me. And I was blaming everyone else, and he was putting the finger right in here. And yet I lost that battle. He won. Not only is the best thing I ever lost, it's better than anything I ever won. When I lost the battle to the Lord. But he considered me, and I want to say this, he considers you. I want you to know that whoever you are, he considers you. And David asked the question, what is man that you're mindful of him, or the son of man that you would visit him? And it really begins with the answer. You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor. And you set him over the works of your hands. And when he says him, of course, in the beginning, he's speaking of Adam. But this was God's purpose for humanity. This was God's purpose for you. This is what God had foreordained for you. I want to hear that. You made a little lower than the angels. Actually, the word that David used was the word Elohim, which is God. You made him a little lower than yourself, Lord. You crowned him with glory and honor. And I want you to understand this, that this was God's purpose, and I want to tell you not just was, is God's purpose for man to be made a little lower than himself. Don't let anyone deceive you. You're never going to be a God. You're never going to be God. But I want to tell you this. You wasn't made to be a fallen creation. You wasn't made to be sinful. You wasn't made to be run over by Satan. That's why God considers you, because he didn't make you. He didn't make you for that. He didn't form man. And he said, you crowned him with glory and honor. And you put him over the works of your hands. You had put all things in subjection under his feet. And when God made man, and he put everything, all the works of his hand, gave him dominion over the earth. And none was set over man except God. And I want you to understand that. None was set over man. The scripture will tell us here in the book of Hebrews that the angels were ministering spirits to minister to the heirs of salvation. They were not set over man. All things were put under man's feet. And then he says this, "For he that put all in subjection unto him, he left nothing that is not put under him." He's saying it was everything. "But now we see not yet all things under him." That's kind of a strange wording. But how many would first admit that may have been the way that God made things, but that's not the way that we see things? You admit that? That man made in God's image, crowned with God's glory, with all things in subjection to him under his feet. This was the way God made things. This was the way God made man. This was what God ordained. When I say man, I'm not speaking of male or female. I'm speaking of mankind. I'm speaking of humanity here. And I want you to understand that. He says, "But that's not what we see." And he uses the word "yet" because there's a day coming that all things are going to be the way that God ordained it. But I want to tell you this, but there's already a day come for those that trust in Christ. And he says this, these next words, "But now we see not yet all things put under him." He says, "But we see Jesus." And that's what we want to talk about. We see Jesus made a little lower than the angels. "For the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor." Notice that man first was crowned with glory and honor. "But man failed, transgressed, and lost. Lost things that you never knew. Lost things that you were never aware of that God purposed for you." You have heard of people in their life that maybe their parents were very wealthy or their grandparents were very wealthy, but by the time they got around to it, it was all gone. And most parents say, "Don't worry about it, 'cause I'm going to spend your inheritance anyway." But here, can you imagine the loss to you of what belonged to you, of what God had ordained for you, and it was lost to you before you were ever born? It was lost to you before your parents were ever born, before their parents were ever born. But it's how God made things. And this was God's purpose. And I want to tell you, this was the natural order of things. And he says, "But we see Jesus, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things in bringing many sons into glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through substance." I want you to see this as we start. Humanity starts crowned with glory and then fell a great fall. And all the darkness and the sin, the iniquity, the filth, the depravity, and the hurt, you know, all the things that we endure through this life, and came out of that fact that he fell from the glory that he was crowned with. He said, "But we see Jesus crowned with glory and honor." And if you want to see what God prepared for man, you have to look at Jesus, because you can't look at man to see it. That's why I said, "But we see Jesus. He's crowned with glory and honor because it became him in bringing many sons to where? Glory. Back into the glory of God." This was the purpose. This was the mission of Jesus Christ. To find those. Didn't Jesus say that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost? And the mission of Jesus Christ was to seek to find those that were fallen from the glory of God, the glory prepared for them, and bring them back to glory. And that's just, you want to say, just in a few verses, Paul is explaining this great salvation. Why it's so great, and why he asks, how shall we escape if we neglect so great of salvation? And he's going to tell us, we're going to read one more verse here that is tied with this, that we're going to tie in this message a little bit. This is how he does it, brings many sons to glory. The next verse, for he that sanctifieth and those who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. And so the one crowned with glory, sent to bring sons to glory, was sent to sanctify them. And this was the very heart of this salvation. This was the means of this, how it would be, how that those that had fallen, had lost all that God had prepared for them, would again receive it, is that Jesus would come crowned with glory, give his life to sanctify you. Now, someone may not understand what that means. I want to go back to Genesis, the first chapter, 26th and 27th verse. When we read these passages of scriptures that we're going to talk about this morning, I don't want you to think about Adam. I want you to think about yourself. It may seem just like a fairy tale or a story that has no relevance to you, but it does. Because here he didn't say, let us make Adam in our image. He said, let us make man. And Adam was the first of many that would come through Adam and Eve. But God said, let us make man. And I want this to be so real to you this morning that you can add your name there. I could say, God said, let us make Keith. You think I'm stretching to say that? I don't believe. Let us make Tina. And put your name there as God in the beginning saying, let us make you. And how did he say to make you? God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish, the sea, the fowl of the air, the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. That's why I'm saying it's not just Adam and Eve, because this was God's plan for you, and this is the reason that though it be this morning, and though it be in times past in your dark hour, that the Lord considered you and came to you, begin to call you, begin to draw you to himself, is because in the beginning he said, let me make them in our image. Now, we think of this, and a lot of times it's taught. That's why we've got two legs and two arms, and we stand upright, and we do things like that. But I want you to consider this. Jesus said this, said God is a spirit. Jesus also told his disciples after his resurrection, they were afraid when they saw him. They thought he was a spirit, a ghost. He said, touch me. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bones. And he said, that's what God is. And I want to tell you that the image that man was made in is not speaking of the number of fingers, the hands, the legs, the structure of man. I don't know the things how to describe God, but I can't describe him as a man. And I want to tell you this, and one of the things that tells me that image is not those things is because in the redemption in Romans 8, the scripture says God predestined that we would be conformed to the image of His Son. And no one believes that that's talking about, well, you know, then we're going to have His color hair or His height or His features or things. No, but we believe that in this redemption that we're conformed to the image of His Son. You say, well, that was a new thing. No, it wasn't a new thing. That was from the beginning. God's purpose and plan for humanity, God's purpose and plan for you. He said, let us make man in our likeness, that you, listen to me, are that man in flesh and bone would be a reflection of the invisible God. And it wouldn't be the hands. I want to tell you what it would be. David cried out. He said, God, he said, you desire truth in the inward parts. He said, so create in me a new heart and a right spirit, a righteous spirit. That man was created, that his spirit was a reflection of God. You say, well, that was wonderful, but that was then. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So God made man, crowned him with His glory. You say, well, that was, He was given power over animals. No, the Scripture, three verses apart, tells us that Jesus was crowned with glory and honor. The Spirit of God was placed upon man. Now, I want you to see this. I want you to see someone made in God's image, not a sinful being. I want you to hear that. Not a sinful being. Not an unclean, a covetous being. Not a being filled with self-destruction. But I want to tell you, a human being. How many believe Adam was a human being? Of course he was. A human being. Now I want to tell you, when you look at how man was made, this is what a human being is. Now that sounds strange. Come on, how many times in your life have you really messed up, done something bad or evil, and excused it by said, I'm only what? Human. And we relate sin and flaw and selfishness and all these things to being human. Well, look at the human that God made. And there were none of those things. His natural existence was to reflect God. He wasn't God. But He bore the image. Therefore, He was reflection. How many have ever seen your image in a mirror? A reflection of God with the presence of God upon Him. I'm going to say something to you. That is what's natural for man. I'm going to go a step further with that. Really crawl out on this limb. That is what's natural for you. I'm going to say it again. That reflecting, bearing the image of God, a reflection of God, clothed with His Spirit. When I say this, I'm not just speaking to those that are born again this morning. To every person in this place, to every person that I could ever speak to, I can say this, that is what is natural for you. And that hit me. You say, well, how can you say that's natural? Because that's the way God made things before it was perverted. Can you see what I'm saying? And I want to say this to you. Maybe you look at yourself, I'm anything but that. Well, that may be the case, but that's the way God made you before you were corrupted. We go through the third chapter. We know the story. Adam and Eve listened to the serpent. And the serpent's message to Adam and Eve was a message of rebellion. The serpent was the one that desired in his heart what to be as God, to be like the Most High, not to have God over him, to be a God unto himself. And when he came to Eve, he said this. He said, Eve, God knows that if you eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will be as God. You know what he's telling Eve? Eve, the reason God doesn't want you to eat it, because if you eat it, then you're going to be equal with him, and God is not going to be God over you. He's afraid of that. I want to tell you, that lie right there, someone says, I would never fall for that lie again. People fall for it every day, afraid that God will have dominion over them. Every day, afraid that God will have dominion over them. They accepted the lie. When you understand what the lie was, how it magnifies the transgression. Someone said, well, they messed up. They ate the wrong fruit. The reason they ate it, they transgressed. It wasn't a oops. Eat this. No one will rule over you. And they ate and they fell. And you and I fell with them. And the scripture says that something happened. Romans 5 and 12 says, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And with that entrance into the world, it didn't enter into a cave. Sin entered into the heart of the human that God had made. And man, and I want you to hear me, became a sinful being. I want to ask you, which then is natural? A man in God's image, reflecting God and bearing His glory, or that man or that woman polluted with the darkness that entered in, which is natural? Can you discern that? Can you discern which is the natural existence of humanity? One that as God ordained it, prepared it, created it? Or one that this great pollution entered into, this great defilement that just didn't defile Adam and Eve, but all that would come out of them would be stricken with this thing, which is natural? I tell you that the existence of humanity in sin has been an unnatural existence. Listen to me, and all the things that have been brought upon this world and this planet because of it have been an unnatural thing. Not how it was created, not how it was ordained, not how it was put together, not how it was predestined to be, an unnatural interference corruption. I'll tell you what struck me, and some people just going to fall off the planet to even think about this. Human beings are not naturally sinful creatures, but they are by birth. You say, why are you saying this? I was thinking about this writing a week ago, and You know, every once in a while these movies will come out that a virus is sleeping nowadays. You know, if it's going to be a movie, someone's got to be chewing on someone, you know. That's what viruses do. But what if, and I want you to consider this, a virus just swept across the planet, infected everyone. And the result of this virus, they would go on and people would live, but their whole life was lived in just excruciating pain. And the virus was passed on from generation to generation until that all of humanity was infected with this. And this was the normal existence of humanity, crippled and shut down by pain. They had to force their way through life. What a horrible existence. But let me ask you the question. I can see that it would become the normal existence because it's everywhere. But would it be the natural existence? Would it be how man was supposed to live? Or a woman was supposed to live? Would it be how their life was supposed to be? And I'm sure there would be those that would scoff at the idea that it could be any different because that's all they'd ever known. But I stand here and have to say, no, it would not be the way things were supposed to be, and it wouldn't be the way people are supposed to live. How many have ever broken a leg? Did you like that very much? Did you limp? This lady told me I walked funny a few months ago. You remember that? Probably every time I walk. I don't know if that's age or work. But back that one broke a leg and you limped. Well, you know, that's natural for someone with a broken leg, isn't it? But did you consider that to be naturally the way you were supposed to live? No. Because naturally, you weren't to have a broken leg. So things become natural to us in what is really just a very narrow view of how things are or supposed to be. Is it natural for someone born in this world to sin? Yes, it's natural. You can even say it's their nature. But the greater truth is it's not natural for someone to be born with sin. You say, but they all are. Yes, they all are. But it's not natural. Never meant to be. And I want to say this. Never has God accepted for a moment that it was the way humans should live. I want you to hear that again. Never did God accept for a moment that that was the way humans should be or humans should live. You say, how do you know that? Because in the day that it happened, God promised a seed to come and destroy the works of the devil. You say, how do you know that? Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to seek out, to save that which was lost. And before you understand what it even means to be lost, I mean, we all had our own pit when the Lord found us. I got lost in my pit. No, you were lost before you found your way into your pit. You were lost that day that those two believed that lie of Satan. Accepted that they could cast off God's dominion. and be as God, you were lost that day. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. We speak, and I've been speaking this morning, of sin as a pollution. And that's what it is. I used to, and I'm not going to say I never, but I used to speak of the sin nature of man. Well, that can be a true term. Listen to me. If I can speak of the limping nature of a person that has a broken leg, that when our sister's leg was broke, it was natural for her to limp. But that limping and that broken leg was not natural to her. So when I speak of the sin nature of man, there is a truth there. If I say that man that is fallen and polluted by sin, it's in him, therefore it is natural to him, therefore you could say it's his nature. But there's a greater truth than that. And the greater truth is that sin is not the nature of man. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Have you ever met someone that was so bitter, so angry at the world, at people, that anyone that had a conversation with them, I mean, it just spilled out? You ever seen that? And it's a sad situation, and they don't know that they're doing it. They can't help themselves. And is that natural for a person? When I say natural, that a person just, even in our understanding, it's supposed to be just consumed with hatred and bitterness. Well, of course not. But you could say that it's natural for someone that has done the things that they've done, experienced the things that, you know, all the things that the psychologist would bring into it that produce that. Someone say, well, it's just natural. You've been stepped on so many times, you might learn to bite. So in very narrow view of things, we can say some things are natural. But in God's views of things, it's not natural. It's not natural for anyone to be controlled by Satan, by darkness, by sin. There is to be but one master. Everything else is unnatural. It's not natural for man to be run over and stepped on by Satan. You say, well, that is natural. That's what the devil does. Yes, but what was natural for man was all things under his feet. A couple weeks ago in the afternoon service, first time I preached in Atascocita, and I said something. I said, we in our churches do it every day. We equate being human with being sinful. Like, you know, human equals sinful. And I would admit that you've accepted that in your life. I've accepted that in my life. You just hear it. Well, we're just human. God knows we're just human. You've got a wrong idea of what first being human was. Never made to be that. A pollution entered that made everyone to be something that was unnatural. Jesus Christ sent to bring sons back to glory. How did he do it? Scripture says that Hebrews 3, he sanctified. What'd he do? You take that person stricken with that disease, their need would be someone just to take away the virus and let them live as a person was supposed to live. That person stricken with sin, it may be normal, but it's not natural. And they needed someone to wash it away. And that's how he would bring sons to glory, was to sanctify, to wash the people. I will say this. Our redemption is more than just being brought back to where Adam was. It's more than that. Scripture says, as is the earthy, such are they that they're earthy. Adam was earthy, and yet he was in the image of God, a reflection of God, but he was earthy. We are not in this redemption brought to Adam now. Perhaps God said, if you want to see the same result, do the same thing. We're not brought back to Adam. The Scripture says, and that such is the heavenly, so are they that are heavenly. We are brought to Jesus Christ. Children of God. And yet humans. And yet not just humans, because the Spirit of Christ is within. But I want, as we start to close this service this morning, child of God or lost person, I want you to get a different idea of what is natural. Normal is not always natural. There may be someone whose normal life is the total opposite of what God made man to be. And you accept it's just natural, that's just the way it is, that's the way it'll always revert to. No. Normal is not natural. And there's a natural existence in the kingdom of God. I want to tell you, a natural existence in the kingdom of God. And first, it's called just being free. The things that religion, and hear me, religion says is so impossible, are the things that are simply natural in the kingdom of God. And I want to say again, it starts with just being free. It starts with just having a clean heart. Just natural. Man didn't have to struggle for it in the beginning. That's the way God made them. The Scripture tells us the new man is created after God in righteousness and true holiness. It's just natural. A righteous spirit is not something you have to struggle for in the kingdom of God. It's just natural. I realized 21 years of my life was spent in an unnatural existence. Some people spend their entire life. They're like that person stricken in excruciating pain and think that that's just natural. It has become normal to them, but it's not the way they were supposed to be. And I want to tell you this morning, being ruled over by anything but God Himself. I'm not talking about having a governor and a president and a police officer. Scripture says that whether you like them or not, Scripture says that God's placed them there. But those are not the things that rule over a person. It's the things of the heart and the things of a soul that order their life, that lead them to destruction. those things were never meant for you. Songwriter wrote, old song, all the darkness and all these things that I speak of this morning come out of that one thing, that sin entered the heart of man. And the songwriter wrote, what can wash away my sin? I could ask, what could give me the existence that God had purposed for me when He created man? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Praise the Lord. So many things that we accept as normal, that you can almost hear the voice of God shouting from the heavens, that's not natural. It's an unnatural thing that maybe has become normal to you. Lord Jesus Christ. We don't sin because we're human. We sin because we're sinners. How many can see that? We don't covet because we're human. We covet when covetousness dwells within. When Jesus said, I'll give you rest, you can't rest in that which is unnatural. A fish can rest in the water. I can't. Bird can rest in a tree. I've fallen out of too many of them. You'll never find rest for your soul in an unnatural condition. But you will in Christ. Praise the Lord. That's why Paul started out there with so great a salvation. Dad was telling of a man he was talking to a few weeks ago. Was in the church 25 years ago. Struggled, fell. Ended up in alcoholism. Lost his family for a season. He said he began years back. I guess I didn't know it for a long time. Dad didn't know it, but just began to get the CDs. As he'd drive across country 6 and sometimes 7 days a week. If you're listening, brother, I'm talking about you. But he said he'll talk to people and tell them about freedom. Tell them about what Christ does, and they'll protest, no, God doesn't do that. God doesn't do that. That's not the way it is. And he says, I've had the bondage. I've had the alcoholism. I like freedom better. I'm going to stay with freedom. I've had that unnatural existence that people call normal. I like Christ so much better. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How many can hear what we're saying this morning?